Well, we're studying through the book of Matthew, and week last we looked at the passage of scripture where the Lord had mentioned to his disciples that he wanted to go on to the other side, and the storm that resulted as the enemy tried to stop that which God had already ordained to be. On the other side, in Luke and in Mark, there's a specificity of one man being demonized, being on the other side. But Matthew, the accountant, gives us another detail to that particular story. But there are details that Mark gives to us that Matthew doesn't give to us. And so tonight I'm going to see as best as I can how I can bring both passages together. Unfortunately, I did not bring my handheld Bible, so I'm going to have to depend on my phone to help me bridge this gap that I need to bridge tonight. It says in Matthew 8 and verse 28, "And when he was come to the other side, into the country of Gergesenes, that word is an interesting word, Gergesenes, because it's we theologians are not absolute, but it is the place of the welcoming of the stranger. A stranger approaching. Now, that is interesting that is partly the meaning of that, because at the end of it, we'll find out that they were not very welcoming at the end of it. But let's just go a little bit further. It says, "There met him two people possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce." They were coming out of the tombs. The tomb is a place, it's like a cemetery, place of burial, place of death. "And they were exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way." Now, interestingly, it says no man might pass by that way. This is an interesting statement, because for Jews, in the first place, they should not be passing by the place of burial. You don't touch dead people. You don't go, the repercussions and all the hoops you have to jump through to go through cleansing and all of that was much. But there's something about this particular group of people that we are going to be very aware of. The Bible tells us in Mark that this place was the area where God pitched itself. And that is going to be a very interesting aspect to this discuss this evening, because it's going to tell us exactly why Jesus was going here. He says, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee? What do we have to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God? Thou Son of God." It's amazing. Everybody else calls him the Son of David. This demonized man said, they identified him, "You're the Son of God." They knew him. "You are the Son of God. Now, what do we have to do with you here?" Wow. "Art thou come hither to torment us?" before the time. They knew that too. There's going to be a time of torment. Say, have you come to torment us before the legal time? So they had an idea that there was a time that was set for their torment. What are you doing here? It's not your time. In other words, they're saying, it's not your time. But you see, it is not the devil to determine the time. God determines the time. He does whatever he, God, wants to do. The time of your life is not in the hands of the devil. And it doesn't matter what date God may have said he's going to do something. He can shift the date anytime he wants. So I say, Lord, shift the date for my favor. What about you? Shift the date to favor me. It may take me 20 years. Maybe that's the timeline. 20 years from now, you are going to do such and such. 20 years from now, you're going to be delivered. Shift the time for my deliverance. Let it be today. I don't want to wait for 20 years. I want it now. Hallelujah. Now, when we ask that, we've got to qualify it by this next statement. When I say, Lord, shift the time for my favor, I've got to say, Lord, and help me handle the grace to do right by your word. You say, why do you say that? Because there was a prodigal that went asking for what belonged to him before it was time. And you know the end of the story. You know, people go and they grab things before it's time and it creates problems for them. But we want the grace of God to abound towards us and grace, the grace that shifts the time to be the grace that enables us to live now as if it were 20 years from now. Amen? He says, and there was a good way, and there was a good way off from them, an herd of many swine feeding. Second thing, what are swine doing in Jewish land? Well, these guys, these are the children of God. They were raising pigs as business people for the temples of the enemy across. They were raising pigs for the temples of the Gentiles. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, if you cast us out, because we know you are here for a reason. You didn't just show up for no reason. We tried to stop you on the other side. We couldn't stop you. So you showed up here for a reason. You have a purpose. Now that tells me something, that the devil knows that God doesn't show up for no reason. It behooves us to believe the same, that God doesn't show up for no reason. If God shows up, he showed up for a reason. And you and I need to show up for a reason. We must have purpose. We must be purpose-driven people. Amen? Why am I here? I must consider that fact. Why am I here? Why am I a believer? Why am I a Christian? Why do I go to church? Why do I give? Why do I pray? Why do I fast? Why do I worship? Why do I praise? Why do I sing? Why do I eat? Why do I? What's the purpose? If I don't know the purpose of it, then I position myself to abuse whatever it is that I'm in. He says, so the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, if you cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. So even the pigs knew, We don't want you. If pigs can be that smart, we need to be smarter. Pig said, I don't want you here. You are strange. You are a strange spirit. Don't want you here. And so they go down this steep place and into the sea. And when you go to Israel and you come into this area, the guides will tell you where the one area where there is this steep hill that is right by the sea. And they will tell you that that's where this particular event took place. He says, and they that kept them, kept the swine, fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils, because those possessed of the devils got delivered. He says, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. They came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, when they saw Jesus, that is, they besought him that he will depart out of their coast. He said, please leave here. Why did they ask him to leave? They're asking him to leave because their business just got ruined. All the pigs drowned themselves. He came and messed up business for them, so they thought. Now, let us flip this passage and go to Mark 5. And we'll spend the remainder of the time exploring the passage from the perspective of Mark. Mark 5. Now, there are going to be details that and I'm not certain that I'll be able to finish it, but I'll do my best in the next few minutes. This should be a full message of its own, maybe two, maybe three messages, in fact. He says, and they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Now, that is interesting. The country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Did you see that? A man with an what? Unclean spirit. It's a man with an unclean spirit. Now, why is Jesus here? Why has he come here? What is the motivation behind him coming to this land of the Gadarenes? He's here because of a prophetic statement. The prophetic statement is in regards to God. God is the son of Leah. Leah is the wife of Jacob. And Leah had stopped giving birth. And sought for help, prayed, did some negotiating. Anyway, she got pregnant. And in Genesis 30 and verse 11, the Bible says, and Leah said, a troop cometh. And she called his name God. A troop cometh. This name is going to flip on its head, because after she said the troop cometh, she started having babies again. And actually also had a daughter in the process. However, the Bible tells us in Genesis 49 and verse 19, when Jacob is busy blessing his sons, each one, he says to God, remember, he said, the name of God means a troop comes. Now, God, he says, a troop shall overcome him. In other words, you are going to be overcome. But then he says, but he shall overcome at the last. You're going to ultimately overcome, God. The prophetic statement is this, that you're going to be overcome, but at the end, you are going to be the one who overcomes. And the reason why Jesus is coming across is because of that prophetic statement. He's coming to fulfill that statement. He's coming to the land of the Gadarenes, the land of God, to set the people free. It has been overtaken by demonic forces. And there is this man there that has, Bible says, an unclean spirit. How many is that? One. Okay. Well, we are going to see it change in a moment. And therein lies the spiritual lessons that we need to learn. He says, who had his dwelling among the tombs. This is where he dwelt. This is where he lived, among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. They couldn't bind him with chains. This is a very interesting statement because he's in bondage. He's bound by demonic forces, but he could not be bound with chains. Reason, that is not his end. You know a man or a woman that is destined for greatness by this, that as bad as his situation is, somehow, some way, he still breaks free. So they put physical chains on him and he breaks it. Because something inside of him says, I am not meant to be bound, I am an overcomer. Something was speaking inside there. The Bible says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was not controllable. He could not be tamed. Now, these are because of the activities of the evil spirit that was in him. But greater than that, it was because of the Spirit of God inside of him. I did not consider that. Never thought about it that way until the Lord began to unveil the truth to me. He said to me, he said, I had in him the light of my presence and my word. And he could not be stopped because he kept on revolting against anything and everything that wanted to keep him in bondage. So there was this conflict going on the inside of him steadily. Yes, he was bound, but there was something inside of him that kept on saying to him, you're not supposed to be this way. You're not supposed to be this way. He doesn't understand it. But he is fighting something on the inside. And what is the Lord coming here to do? Help him break free. There's a battle going on. You may have seen people that you look at them and you say, this person is totally bad, but then you look at him and say, but there's something about this person that smells of good. I'm not going to go political here, so I'm going to stop. But you can see it happening in so many lives. You can see the good and you can see the bad. You can see the tension that's going on constantly, constantly, constantly. And that's what's happening with this man. And he's there, he says, and in the tombs crying. He's crying and cutting himself with stones. Why is he cutting himself with stones? It's what's inside of him. What does that mean? Dead people don't bleed. Dead people don't bleed. And God is helping this man stay together. Because when he's cutting himself, something inside is telling him, I don't belong here. But he's bound. Bound on clean spirit that keeps him where death is. But by cutting himself, something is flashing in his mind. Dead people don't bleed. I don't know if you are with me or I've lost you somewhere in the boonies. He's doing things that are contradicting where he's at. That's what God does with people. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Look at the person, everything is wrong. But there's something, there's a flicker of light in there. And this man has been in that state for years. He represented the environment where he was. He says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Do you see? He ran and worshipped him. That is the good part that was in there that's been stuck. But as a conflict, he's one time good and flashing bad. Good, bad. Good, bad. It's a bad picture. This is happening to him. He saw Jesus. He ran to him and worshipped him. But then the other voice comes out and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? See the conflict? One moment he's worshipping and then the enemy cries out. So he's going through this. Steady. This is why he's there. There's a conflict. Then cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Son of the Most High God. And then he says, I adjure thee by God. Oh my. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Is it possible that there is so much of that man that it began to affect the demons inside of it? That they are beginning to mention God. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, For he said unto him, come out of the man. Thou unclean what? Spirit. He says, come out of the man. And the man saying, or the evil spirit is saying, I adjure thee torment me not. And this is a lesson the Lord taught me many years ago. I'm going to use a few minutes to restate what he told me. He started out, he said to me, "Son, there are some things that I did that were wrong, but I did it to show you what not to do." I said, "What do you mean?" So he asked me, "How many demons were in the demonized man of the Gadarenes?" I said, "1,000 plus." He said, "No." I said, "How many?" He said, "1. I said, "No. There wasn't one." The man said, "We are legion." "Legion is not one," I said to the Lord. He said, "There was only one unclean spirit." I said, "No, it's not." He said, "Yes, it was." I said, "Okay, I bring the Bible." Actually, he quoted to me the passage. He said, "Look at it right there in Mark." So I bring the Bible, and I open to Mark 5, as he mentioned, and lo and behold, it's an unclean spirit. I said, "So what is this legion here?" And he said, "Let me tell you what wrong I made that you shouldn't. I did it to show you what not to do." I said, "What was it?" He said, "I had a discussion with the demon." I said, "What discussion?" He said, "I asked him what his name was. And there it was, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is' what? 'Legion, for we are' what? 'Many.' And he besought him much that he will not send" what? "Them." The language is changed. "Away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of the swine feeding, and all the" what? "Devils besought him, saying, 'Send" what? "Us into" the what? "Swine." Matthew did not give us that detail. Mark gives us the detail that when Jesus allowed that demonized man to speak, and he said, "We are many," the one unclean spirit became a herd, a legion. We must not give the devil voice. We must not give the devil a voice to speak. Because when we allow the enemy to speak, he will speak his reality, and now you have to battle that reality. So we shut down the enemy. He says, "And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us,'" not "send me," "send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He said, "Okay, go." And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000. 2,000. And were choked in the sea. They all died in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, watch this, and see him that was possessed with the what? With the devil, not devils. possessed with the devil and had the legion. So he had one devil in him. But this one demonized man now had a legion. And what is he saying about the legion? He associated himself with the legion. In other words, he says, we are one. Are you with me? We are one. What is your name? Legion, for we are many. But he had only one spirit, one demon in him, one devil. But we are many. When he gave his name and said, we are legion, he was saying, we are one. You get a picture? We are one. My name is, we are one. We're together. We're united. Was Jesus mesmerized, overwhelmed by this nonsense? He understood this. One with God is majority. Doesn't matter how many of you there are, I'll get rid of all of you one shot. So, why did Jesus ask his name? Because just like he did with Pharaoh, are you with me? Remember Pharaoh? He got Israel out of Egypt, and now he wants to drown all of Pharaoh's army. He gathered all of them. It was a mistake, but it was not a mistake. It was very intentional. When he says, we are legion, my name is legion, all of the demons came together, one spot. But he's going to get rid of them one shot. He doesn't have to go looking for them everywhere. Okay, where's this other demon? I cast you out. And this one. No, they all came. They were all there. And they are all going to be gotten rid of one shot. Amen? So shall God, by his mercy and his loving kindness, gather every enemy and every circumstance that's around you all together in one spot and destroy every single one of them with one shot, one bullet. Amen. Amen. Let God arise and let every enemy be destroyed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says, they all came to Jesus, and they saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. I wonder where he got all that stuff from. Clothed. I can understand his being in his right mind. I can understand him sitting. But clothed? Well, clothed because somebody brought him clothes. I wonder who? Most likely Jesus and his team made sure that his nakedness was no longer there. He was covered. When they saw this man that they've been trying to bind, that they are afraid of, sitting, clothed, in his right mind, having a discussion with everybody, the Bible says they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Could you please leave? How do you ask Jesus to leave town when the major terrorist in your community has now been delivered? What is this? They love their money. You're bad for business. You just run all the animals down the coast by throwing these demonized man's demons into those animals. Well, the reasoning of people. The Bible says, and when he was come into the ship, he listened to them. You don't want me here? I'm leaving. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Man asked, let me be with you. Howbeit or however, Jesus suffered him not, did not allow him, but says unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. This is where you want to ask the question, what friends? What friends? Go tell your friends about how I had compassion on you. This is the reality we must understand. Your friend is the person that you say is your friend. It's not the person that accepts you as friend. If I say this person is my friend, that's my decision. You're my friend. My friend, I'm going to talk to you. He's back on his right mind, and now the Lord is saying to him, they used to know you as that demon-possessed man, the troublemaker. Now go back into town and let them know that somebody fixed your problem, and they will recognize that if I can fix your problem, you can fix theirs also. So the man goes and he starts chatting. And what do we know? When Jesus comes back, this man single-handedly had won 10 cities. It's called the Decapolis. He had penetrated 10 cities. And when Jesus came back, they accepted him. Jesus had planted right in the midst of that community one man who used to terrorize them. He's placed him now renewed, restored, made whole. And now this man was going to be his voice. Just as much as he had been a voice for the devil, now he's going to be a voice for God. Amen? He did not give up on him. Yeah, if you come with me, you'll be with me, and that'll be great. But I think I'll get a better result with you being there in town. And so he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and we know the rest of the story. But the bottom line to this particular study tonight is this, that God remembered. He remembered God. A troop cometh to a troop shall overcome you, but at the end you shall overcome. You will overcome the troop. So I say in Jesus' name, let grace abound towards us, that whatever it is that has overcome us, that we now, this day, in this moment, overcome that which had overcome us. And that we overcome gloriously and take over the territory that God has assigned us in. Those demonic forces in that general area had this man in bondage. But there was something inside of him that refused to stay in bondage. Something was deep inside of him. There was a light inside there that refused to be quenched. Though it was conflicted, at the end, that voice, that greatness that was in him came out. Let the greatness of God in every one of us come forth. And let every demonic force, every demonic spirit that's tried to bury the glory of God in our lives, let it be cast out into the swine. Every unclean spirit cast out into the swine and let them perish in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I thank God for his grace upon our lives. Next week, we'll continue with chapter 9 of Matthew. And while we looked at Matthew 8 today, we combined it with Mark 5 so that we had a full picture of that particular message that was being communicated to us in the passage. Heavenly Father, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, let the battle, the conflicting battle within our lives, within our families, within our ministry, our calling, our destiny and purpose, let the conflict cease. Let, O God, clarity of your divine will be made absolutely obvious this day. We stand steadfast, recognizing, O God, that we do not belong in the tomb. We do not belong amongst the dead. We do not belong tied up to chains. We do not belong in an isolated place. We belong, O God, in the integrity of your word, where you have ordained for us to operate in supernatural grace, understanding, ability, empowered by you to fulfill our divine call and purpose. Lord, O God, make us a people of destiny, and let your glory be revealed. Discomfit every enemy. Bring every activity of darkness around us to naught, and cause your name to be exalted in us. Father, as you delivered this man of the gatherings, Lord, deliver us. Deliver us and deliver all those that are with us. Matthew said there were two men. We are certain, O God, that you did not just set one free, you set both free. So, Lord, O God, this day, we ask, O God, that you set not only us free, but those that we are held captive with. Mighty God, in Jesus' name, we are free from every bondage, from every lie, from every activity of darkness. Lord, O God, we are out of the radar of the enemy. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the glorious eternal name of Jesus, Father, we give you praise, O God. Take us, O God, into a stealth mode. Lord, O God, in which, O God, we are invisible to the powers of darkness. But Lord, O God, we are creating major havoc and disaster into the camp of the evil one. Blessed be your holy name, Lord, Most High God. And on this day, O God, that the powers of darkness roam around the land, and so many ignorantly are going out, trick or treating. Lord God Almighty, we ask, O God, that you will save, deliver, and set many free. Lord God, that the lies and deceptions of the enemy will be wiped off from their lives. Lord God, that as we step, O God, onto November 1st, that traditionally was called Hallowed's Day, a holy day. A Lord of God, that we will step into the holiness that God you have ordained, and that this All Saints Day will be a day, the Lord of God, that your people be reminded that Jesus is Lord. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to have you here tonight. We'll honor God with that which God has blessed us with. We bless you who have taken time to watch and listen and participate in this study this evening. May the hand of God rest upon you, and may his grace abound towards you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord.